Once again, joined this morning by Dr. Nancy Nielsen. Good morning to you, Doctor.
Good morning.
All right, Doctor, we've been talking about COVID-19 for several weeks now. Much of the focus, of course, when it comes to the fatalities of COVID-19, focused on elderly people, people with underlying health conditions. At the same time, we've heard anecdotally about some of the problems that COVID-19 can create for younger people, but you're finding out more information now. This is starting to become a more concrete scenario about what can happen to somebody, let's say they might be 25 years old. What could happen to them if they contract COVID-19?
I think this is a really important point. We did assume that this was just going to have lingering effects in older people or those who were quite sick who'd been hospitalized. But it was very interesting because I was on an international conference on COVID this past week. And one of the things that was said there was, this is simply not a two-week disease. And the important statistic was, if you look at people who were symptomatic with COVID, not necessarily hospitalized, but did have symptoms, aged 18 to 34, fully 1 in 5 of them still had symptoms months later. And those symptoms could be anything from what's described as the kind of brain fog, to fatigue, to achiness, to just not being right. So I think that's actually a very important point, particularly as we're dealing with kids returning to college campuses in that age range.
It's interesting you bring up the college campuses. It was one of the things I wanted to get into. The University of Buffalo is saying that they're going to be conducting surveillance testing that has a certain sound to it, doesn't it? But could you get into that and what the concerns that you're seeing at some of the area colleges as well?
Well, let's talk about how you would actually do surveillance. You could do it as a few campuses have done. They must have enormous endowments, but they tested absolutely everybody on their campus. Now, the problem with doing that is not just the money. The problem is that a person who tests negative today could go out to a party tonight, and a day or two later, they'll be positive. And unless you repeatedly test everybody individually, that's just a not very efficient way of learning what you need to learn. It works, but gracious, it's just not all that reasonable. Another way is to test people by pooling samples. And you can do that by pooling nasopharyngeal swabs taken the way most people around here have had their samples collected, or you can do it the way Upstate Medical University has developed, which is testing saliva. So the person collects their saliva, the saliva is then pooled with that of a few other people. In the case of UB, it's going to be a dozen, and then the pooled sample is tested. If the pooled sample's negative, everybody's free and clear. If it's positive, then you have to go back and examine each of the samples individually. But it's a more efficient way to do it, and you can do it by random sampling, which is what they're going to do at UB. They're going to look at the kids who live on campus, you know, the students who live on the dorms and eat there and go to class there. They're going to do it with the townies who live elsewhere and drive to class every day. And then the third category is faculty and staff. So those are going to be sampled, and how often will depend on what the early results show. But they'll do a random sample of a little over 800 people combined from those three groups and look to see what the prevalence is.
Obviously a good way of gauging what some problems can be. And it's interesting, as we talk week in and week out, new developments in how communities are going about trying to uncover the level of COVID-19 in the communities. One that it didn't get a lot of mention was checking wastewater. How, give into that a little bit for us.
Well, that has been shown. You can actually find fragments of the virus in the wastewater from buildings. And a few campuses have actually drilled down to dormitory by dorm, building by building, Actually, both Erie County and New York State are doing the wastewater sampling. And I just spoke with the person who is the deputy commissioner of Erie County in charge of sewage management. And he told me that the wastewater sampling began Tuesday of this week by Erie County, and they're working with the UB School of Engineering to process the samples and detect viral fragments. And meanwhile, samples are also being collected by New York State working with the city of Buffalo. And so these are not building by building, but they're certainly area by area. For example, three of the sampling sites for Erie County cover the area of the UB North Campus and the surrounding areas where most of the off-campus housing is. So there would be early warning signs of an increased prevalence, both generally and the ability to drill down to more narrow geographic areas. These are all ways of trying to figure out, without testing everybody every day, to get an early warning of where the problems are so we can contact trace and contain this problem.
It really is fascinating to see how the scientific community has come together and tried to find different ways of combating this virus. That being stated, though, the United States still ranks among the top countries in the world when it comes to the most deaths from COVID-19. What are the projections right now for the United States?
It's really troubling. The Institute for Healthcare Evaluation and Management in Seattle, which the government and others have depended on as the most accurate predictors, are saying that by December 1st, if we don't do something different, we're going to have 285,000 people dead. That is a tragedy. That's about 100,000 more than we have right now. They also project that if we had universal masking when people were out in public, we could reduce the number of deaths, which right now are about 1,000 a day across the country, to less than 500 a day. So this is really serious. And it gets to the heart of our behavior and what we're doing and how seriously we take this disease. For example, we all heard last night, or actually Tuesday night, that Fredonia State just suspended 13 students. I have a family member who's on the campus, and I checked to find out what happened. And what happened was these kids threw a COVID party, and everybody paid a fee to get in, and then the deal was that the first person to get sick with the disease gets the whole kitty. I mean, that's just nuts. That's irresponsible. And so it really all comes back to how seriously are we going to take this, and how are we going to behave?
Well, Dr. Nancy Nielsen, always some signs of hope, and then unfortunately some signs that aren't quite so hopeful, right? As always, thanks very much for your time.
You bet. Good talking with you.